It's Paul Hamilton.
Oh, Cervantes and Hamilton going to each other and Sawinski. Fights into it.
We have a fight.
With Mike Schopen, the Bulldog.
Knocheck was just totaled by an Iowa State player against the board.
I think it was by Hamilton.
On WGR.
Really a pretty unnecessary hit by Hamilton. But Hamilton is still awfully mad. He's being held back.
Number 17, Paul Hamilton. 2 minutes for charging, 5 minutes for fighting, and
then Sports Radio 550.
Do you think possibly the other person involved in that altercation remembers it, thinks about it, maybe knows of our...
Oh, I hope so.
...use of the call? Hamannik or whatever the name is of the guy? Paul, what do you know about the other guy involved there? Anything?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing at all. And if his name, I just didn't hear it, I would not remember.
He's just wearing the wrong color sweater. Picked the wrong day to mess with the bone.
I don't remember the name of the goaltender. So.
Just doing your job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As you are doing now, I believe. So the first round of the NHL draft is in about an hour. Where are you and what is the scene like?
Yeah, I'm at One Bills Drive. I was wondering if maybe the NFL is holding a supplemental draft or something that says, what am I doing here? And this is where the Sabres will be. It's just basically media here right now. And we're just waiting for the draft to start at 7 o'clock and see where things go.
Are you bracing for anything, Paul? Are you... I don't know, anticipating something big, or are years of your life having gone by anticipating that and it not coming hardened you to the point where you're just, okay, punch in, okay, I'm here, and punch out.
Yeah, no, there are 0 points sitting here anticipating something. It's just you just don't know how this is going to go. Things are kind of not great for Byram trade right now, but now Dobson's been traded, so that's a big defenseman off the board. So right. How does that maybe make Byram more available? And, you know, things happen that make other things happen. And the Montreal Canadiens traded both their picks, so now we do have a team that has traded their picks, which didn't happen last year, but it was supposed to happen because the Ottawa wanted to trade their pick and Buffalo wanted to trade their pick and everybody and their mother wanted to trade their pick and nobody traded their pick. And it's kind of like dominoes. All of a sudden something happens, and then maybe something else will happen because this happened.
Yeah. I like the point about Dobson being moved. Like, I noticed that, and mostly my reaction was, you know, wow, 2 first-round picks back-to-back in the first round, and, oh, my gosh, Montreal's got Dobson to go with Lane Hutson. Holy crap. Look out for their blue line. I mean, Dobson had 70 points, I think, year before last. So that might be a little scary. I did not think of it from a, you know, 1,000-foot view here that maybe, you know, the other biggest name defenseman anticipated to be moved got moved, and maybe that is good for Kevin Adams and the Sabres.
Yeah, and I like how Montreal went for it. Yeah, that was a hefty price they paid, and it was a hefty contract they signed him to. But they knew what they wanted. They know what will make them better. They've drafted well. They have a good stable of prospects, just like the Buffalo Sabres do. So it's like, this is the player we think that's going to make us quite a bit better.
Yeah.
It's going to cost us 2 first-round picks, and you know what? Let's do it because we've drafted well. We have a good stable of prospects already. So, yeah, it's not great that you have to trade 2 first-round picks, but that's the price of doing business right now to get the player, if you're the Montreal Canadiens, thinking that get the player that we think is going to help us get quite a bit better. So you, I don't know if I want to say overpay him, but maybe pay him a little more than maybe others would, and maybe others wouldn't give up 2 first-round picks to get him, but they knew what they wanted.
Do you know the contract details? I'm sorry, Paul. I have not seen the contract. Do you know? Is it $11 million a year or something?
No, it didn't quite make that. Okay. I don't remember off the top of my head, but okay. that was a thing I noticed as I kind of grazed over it before I came. So it didn't make it to that.
Okay.
But it's up there, and what I think the point is they know what they want. They went for it, and that's what the Buffalo Sabres have to do. You know, they, if they've identified somebody that they really need and it's going to cost you an extra pick or cost you this or that or whatever it might be, and it's the guy, you've got it. It's in your organization. You have enough ammunition that you can make that package happen.
Yep.
And Montreal did it, and I think, you know, the Sabres, if they find the person that they want, I think they need to do it also.
9.5 annual average value, 8 years, $76 million deal for Dobson in Montreal. Those are the details on that.
Also, Sam Bennett re-signed with Florida 8x8. That just happened.
Which he basically told everybody. It just had never been announced.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, so.
That's a reward for past, you know, services right there.
Sure. Like,
you just want us to Conn Smythe trophy. Here you go. Whatever happens, happens. Fine. Stay, please. We love you. I
still think there's more left in the tank.
Sure.
But 8 years from now, I don't know if there's going to be more in the tank. But
especially
with
the kind of game he plays, right? Yeah, I mean, he's a player that does not go easy generally, right?
That's how that goes. Yeah. You know, you're paying for such a long-term deal. We've talked about Alex Tuch for this today, Paul. Like, would you support the Sabres making a deal with him somewhat close to that?
I think he holds all the cards. They cannot afford to lose him. Their rebuild gets knocked back. I can't even begin to tell you if he's not there. I mean, he does things for that team that others don't do, and I just think they need him. I would not be real excited to sign a 30-year-old to 8 years, but I think he holds all the cards. I don't think the Sabres have anywhere to negotiate. I think basically Alex Tuch tells him what he wants, and if he doesn't get it, then he says, all right, I'm leaving. And that's that. So I just don't think that's a player. I just don't think they can afford to lose. And, I mean, a comfortable contract would probably be more of a 4 to 5 year contract. But the cost of doing business might be 8 years if you want to keep that particular player.
I think, and I don't mean this in like a bad way, but teams, GMs, just are afraid to trade their picks. This is what they do, you know? Like, it's more than just drafting. But, like, this is your moment as a GM. This is not just a hockey point. Football has gotten so one way, Paul, that we literally got to the day of the first round of the NFL draft this year, and no picks had been traded. And, you know, you get going, and it happens. But that was very unusual for that. And I'd understand it if a GM felt, especially a team that isn't, you know, there yet, that this is what we need to do, is use these picks and develop players. That's kind of like that's how you got hired, is having maybe a sense of that or an acumen in that way, depending on, you know, each case. So a team like, well, Florida, I mean, quintessentially now, and they've been this way, right? They've been trading their stuff. Like, we're just going to...
They have 3 draft picks on the team that won the Stanley Cup.
3 of their own, yeah.
Right.
And, you know, the Sabres have been different. But maybe this year, maybe tonight will be a diversion.
And that's what I loved, you know, when we were talking about Montreal. They weren't afraid to do it. You know, I don't know how many GMs that would take both picks and trade them. But they weren't afraid to do it for what they wanted. And I can't remember. I think it might have been Elliot Friedman, but was talking about this. You know, maybe there's a talk going on that Pittsburgh and Buffalo swap picks. So Buffalo moves down and they wind up getting Rust out of the deal. Okay. That's fine. I mean, I know he's a little bit older, but he still can score goals, you know, and still it would definitely add to their power play. So I would, if that were to come to be or that were an offer, I would definitely do that if I were Kevin Adams.
He has trade protection until July 1, Rust. He has a no-move clause that expires.
Him.
Right, yeah.
And that was said. You would have to convince him up through July 1st.
Right.
If you can't somehow, you can still pull this off. You know, just the Sabres draft their player and maybe make it known, we have this deal. You just can't, you know, football has that too. Just not official until later, but that would be a little strange. Paul Hamilton with us. So I wanted to follow up on the first thing. So the Sabres people, Adams and et al., are in the Bills room?
Yeah, they're in the Bills draft room.
That's how tonight works?
Yeah, they were offered the room and they said, absolutely, we'll absolutely take you up on that because there's quite a bit better equipment. There's more room. Everything is better. So when it was offered to them, as Adam said, he didn't hesitate 1 second. It's like, yeah, we'll be there.
Interesting. Is anybody in L.A.? Like, is there somebody there? Like, I think I've said earlier from the Bills, when this year's draft in Green Bay, I think they sent nobody from their football department to the actual draft. Some people in marketing were there with the thought in mind that they might host the draft in a couple of years. But nobody from football was needed. You just sort of call it in. Is that how tonight is?
I don't think anybody from football is ever there other than to take the pick up. You know, well, here's the pick. Here's our pick. You know, and hand it to whoever you got to hand it to. But to my knowledge, I don't think football people are ever there.
Which they don't do anymore anyway. The card or anything like that.
But hockey. Right. Do you know if anyone from the Sabres hockey department is there, or is that not necessary?
I don't think there would be any need to be. There's no GMs there. Yeah. Nothing. And I don't even know if we'll talk to the pick. I would assume there's a Zoom, but I haven't been told that one way or the other. So there may be a PR person that is there setting up some type of a Zoom call with a player. But other than that, no, I don't think anybody would be there.
You've been to so many of these. How do you feel about sort of the pros and cons of it? Because the talk is that next year the NHL will go back to having everybody back on site for whatever reasons. But like you see GMs and people interacting with each other maybe over the course of days. At the draft.
I think this was a lot of owner generated. I think there were some GMs. I think Kevin Adams would rather have a central. He has said so. But I think some GMs don't want to pick up their whole operation and take it somewhere. It's just kind of a pain to do. And then there are some owners, I would think Terry Pegula would be in that group, that don't want to. I mean, he basically, it didn't used to be this way, but I think he's to a point now where they charter a plane for everybody. And to get them there, and you know, you're moving your whole department, hotels, and food, and the whole type of thing. So that's why it was done. But Gary Bettman, I just know, hates this. He does not like it at all. So I think he's fighting back on it. And I have read the same thing through multiple places that this may be only a 1 year deal.
I'm curious to see just mechanically what it looks like. You know, like what kind of television show it ends up being without the teams all marching all their front office personnel up there and giving the same speech over and over again, thanking the community, hosting the draft, the cup champ, et cetera, et cetera. I just wonder how it will impact the mechanics of the draft. Like, will it move more quickly? You know, just all of that, logistics.
How many fans will be there? Be there for what? I mean, will they – it just – interview each pick right on stage if fans are there? Are they invited? Are fans even invited?
It's in a theater, so yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are seats. I mean, I don't know how full it'll be, but I think there should be some people you know, watching the thing. So yeah, we'll have to wait and see how that all shakes out.
Can fans flood the Bills stadium, that room you're in, and pack that in and just knock on the door? No.
We have 40,000 people over at the stadium taking this in. So
I'm seeing online, hopefully it's right, that fans can attend the thing tonight. The Peacock Theater, 7,000 seats. Okay. Paul, do you have a favorite prospect for the Sabres in mind?
I've looked at some of the defensemen, even though they, you know, made a trade for a defenseman. And I think I mentioned to you before the 6'6 kid, Rada Mertka, who played in Seattle, is somebody that is very intriguing to me. He's a right-handed shooting defenseman. But Kashawn Atchison also, he's a lefty, but played in Barrie. And he, you know, plays with ill humor, but also is a good offensive-type defenseman. I mean, I'm looking down now. He had 26 goals and 59 points in 64 games. But he's not afraid to mix it up. He's not afraid to hit. He'll go after the toughest guy. And, you know, they need more of that. They need some size. There's just very, very little size in their prospect pool at all. And that's something that, you know, I think they need. I mean, Murray's there, but Murray's not an NHL player. We've seen that. You know, Wahlberg has a little bit of size to him. Komarov has a little bit of size to him, and other than that, they really don't have a lot of size in their prospect pool that use their size to their advantage. So that'd be something, you know, if they go with a forward, Brady Martin would fill that bill, you know, of bringing an edge.
An edge for sure. He's not that big, Martin. He's only 6 feet tall, but he is.
That's why I said brings an edge.
Right. Not so much size, but he plays bigger than he is. Right. Yeah, I mean, Sneaky Joe is pushing back on the Sabres being small because their forward group is among the biggest in the league. And overall, I think I saw their ninth biggest in the NHL roster. But the prospect pool is a different thing. And I agree with targeting a defenseman. We were going back and forth on that earlier today. I feel like as far as guys who are expected to make the league, I don't know where I'm at in Rochester, right? I mean, the two Russian kids, but I don't know that they project as, you know, anything more than bottom pair guys if they make it at all.
That would be it, yeah.
And I feel like I'm pretty bereft after that, really. I mean, I've got, you know, not that I'm loaded with high end here, but the forward group, there are a bunch of, you know, a group of guys that sort of fit the same profile to an extent. You mentioned Wahlberg. So I'm thinking defense, and I'm thinking, yes, physicality, size, reach, right? Good stick, that kind of thing. I feel like that's where I probably want to be.
And Wahlberg isn't to a point where he plays like a big power forward yet.
Right.
I mean, at times he does, but it's not like you notice him, you know, really using his size to his advantage. That's one thing we talked about with Doan that he will do.
Right.
And enjoys doing it.
All right. Well, sort of a unusual setting here for you and other local media there with the Sabres at the stadium for this draft tonight.
Yeah,
should be interesting.
I'm missing you giving us play-by-play of who Kevin Adams might be making googly eyes at, Paul. I'm very, very disappointed to not have that.
Well, tonight it'll be Terry Pegula because he's just sitting in a room up there. So.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Paul. Enjoy the night.
Take care, guys.
There you go. That's our Paul Hamilton live from One Bills Drive, the site of the Sabres NHL Draft War Room. Get your head around that. Paul's appearance with us brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide. And by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this. Even though I did this yesterday with your help without reading it, I still opened my phone and read it.
That's the habit. That's what you're used to doing.
Yeah.
So why wouldn't you? Why would you rather guess?
But I did. It's been long enough now. Like, I graduated. I don't need to look at anything for the outlet liquor read for sale. I've had that locked down for years now. It's been the same for many years. This has been long-standing enough. I should have. I proved yesterday that with just your help, you got me started. I'm like, I know the words to this song, you know, but I needed the first lyric is all I needed.
Yeah.
But I'm still not there. I'm right back to the phone.
Just as if I started to sing We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel, just give you the first line, you could just do the rest of it. One of your favorite songs?
Sure.
By one of your favorite artists?
Yeah. It's on repeat on when I get in my truck. It's the first thing that plays.
Can you imagine listening to that song like three times in a row and not going insane?
No. I don't think I could make it through 45 seconds.
The reason, this probably was what people did at the time. I was never that hot for that song, but you would listen to it over and over to try to memorize it.
Right.
I had a college friend whose favorite thing in the world was Billy Joel. And so he might have tried to do that to memorize We Didn't Start the Fire.
It's a little bit.
To listen to it 10, 20 times.
A little bit like It's the End of the World as We Know It by R.E.M. It's quick, syncopated lyrics, and you want to know it all. It compels you to want to know it all when you hear it, I think.
It insists upon itself, what I would say. American Pie, not the same song exactly, but
yeah.
There's a lot of words.
There are
is
a lot
all
of
I'm
words.
Saying.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mentioned before, I don't know, this isn't going to be interesting, sorry, but having the 2007 Sabres page up to see about that one Florida game and Brady Martin, who was born in March of that year, President's Trophy year, I realize I'm sort of looking through it during the next break after that I misremembered the conference finals for a thing. I would have told you that the Sabres won their one game against Ottawa 1-0.
Okay, I think I remember it the same way. That's not what happened?
No, they lost game 3 1-0. And then in game 4, I think Roy scores right away, and they get up 3-0 and win 3-2. I'm not sure of the lead,
right,
but they win 3-2.
1-0 game 3, and they had like 13 shots.
It was the worst.
It was a horrible, horrible performance.
It was the worst. Like, they can still do it. Game one was a third period goal. Who's that guy? Oleg Zabrykin? Is that the guy? Somebody scores mid-third to beat him. Then it's Corvo in game two in the second overtime.
Right.
Ugh. But they can still do it. You know, they've beaten this team and then shut out by Emery in game three. I would have said, I remember the Roy goal right away in the fourth game. Mm-hmm. And I would have answered the question in the quiz that that was the only goal of that game. And wow. I would have been wrong. And you said the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember 1-0, and it turns out it should be for utter disappointment. Yeah, that was stanky, that game. All right, well, good. Thank you. Good. I'm glad that we got that cleared up.
Right. I mean, that was important. Sam Bennett resigns in Florida, 8 years, $8 million. Montreal trades two firsts tonight to the Islanders for Noah Dobson and sign him to 8 years, $9.5 million per. Like, that's not just what, that's per year. That's hockey's crazy now. And so the Islanders, I'm seeing from Greg Wyshynski, he's at their watch party. They have the number one pick. Now they have two more. And we'll see what that amounts to. But, you know, you have like a couple dozen people at this Islanders watch party, it seems, at their arena. That seems like a hop in time.
Right.
John Tavares resigns in Toronto. The Chart people love the deal for Toronto. Evolving Wild thought maybe he would have gotten close to double what he got.
Sure, he was coming off an $11 million salary, I think, on that free agent deal he originally signed there. So he's under five on this new deal. So, yeah, they cut that in half.
So some big signings so far. Other than Dobson, we don't have draft pick trades yet. We'll see about the Sabres. There are some rumors about Brian Rust of the Penguins, who maybe could be of interest to the Sabres. We will see what we get. Bulldog and I'd say for myself at least, learned a lot about some of the prospects on the board that might be available to the Sabres tonight from our own Brayton Wilson, who put a mock draft up at WGR550.com. We'll have that conversation for you next, get you more in the mood and maybe more up to speed on one of these guys. Very well could be the newest Sabre in about an hour and a half, thereabouts. That's coming up. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, here on this Friday night, here on WGR.